I'm going to introduce Dr. Anderson to you. Many of you were here this morning. Others were in the nursery and junior church. Dr. Anderson is a layman, a volunteer Christian businessman who in 1959 got saved. He'll tell you a little bit about it maybe or mention it. But God used Dr. Anderson. He began working in construction and started some businesses, ended up with seven different businesses, and God turned Dr. Anderson into a very wealthy man. But Dr. Anderson didn't hoard it. He started using it for God's work. He started investing. Started investing in the Lord's work. He gave me this letter. You saw him this morning, put it on my chair. I didn't have a chance to read it. I was going to pay attention to what he said and not get slapped upside the head while he was preaching. But just in two countries alone, the country of Mexico and the country of the Philippines, since 1999, Dr. Anderson has given a little over $10 million. But with that, he's paying Bible college students to go soul winning 8 hours a day for their college tuition. Since 1999, in the country of Mexico, just in the city of Mexico City, and in the Philippines, this is just amazing, 26,845,143 people have been saved in those two countries alone. Praise God. Folks, that's five times the population of the state of West Virginia. Because one Christian businessman got with God, did what God said. Just in those two countries, over 26, almost 27 million. And that's only through 2018. That's not this year. According to one of the missionaries, they're about 200,000 ahead of last year. That's not including all the Bible college students that have been trained into the colleges that he started. Think in Mexico, you said 100, and, or in the Philippines, 1,400 churches he started. And in the Philippines, and how many in Mexico?
Over 750.
Over 750 churches in Mexico that he's helped start. Over 2,100 churches. That doesn't include those numbers. Doesn't include people like me that were trained under colleges that he helped start. Untold millions of people being saved. Do you realize he has about 2.5 people saved for every dollar he gives? 20 cents? 20. I'm going to buy me a bucket load. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I can't give much, preacher. Guess what? Doesn't take a whole lot. But look what God could do with a Christian businessman.
Uneducated coal.
I'm not saying it. I'll let you say it, but I'm not. No, sir. He's forgotten more than I got in my whole head. Let me tell you, this is my dear friend. I love him. I pray for him. He prays for us. He loves our church. He loves you. I don't know why, but he loves me. And this is a dear, dear, dear friend of mine. Been an honor of my life to call Dr. Russell Anderson my friend. And even more of an honor that I get to have him here in our church to meet the people that I love most in this world. I share with you Dr. Russell Anderson.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Pastor, would you put all down what you said in writing? I like to let those coal miners back in Kentucky hear that. They wouldn't believe it. I told him, and Mike is even in there, I'll tell you something, Mother. You probably call me a liar anyway. I told those stats are what the Holy Spirit had done. Now, I didn't do that. I got up early in the morning. And God's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And what God has used your pastor to accomplish here, you use other pastors to do it, if they pay the price that he's paid and you people have paid.
Yes, sir.
To get this up here. Great will be your rewards in heaven.
You're right.
And we talk about the large sums of money. If I've made $100,000 this week, I should give $10,000. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you made $100 this week You should give $10.
That's right.
Who outgave who?
Same.
You, in God's eyes, you gave equal to me.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You tithe, I tithe.
That's right.
Now, when God wanted to brag about somebody in the Bible, he didn't about giving. He did not say anything about the millionaires. No, he did curse those that would, they say they'd bring their tithes down and they'd make drums and everybody see what they'd given. But he chose a woman who gave two mites. That's not even two pennies.
That's right, no, sir.
About two pennies. But she gave all she had. Now, all those millions you heard that I've given, that means that she outgave me, I see. I've still yet got, I'm saving $1 million back in case I run into a good-looking widow. I don't make her think she's going to have to live in a poorhouse or some government housing. And so I kid a lot, but I've maybe held another woman's hand romantically since my wife. I don't have time. I tell you what, I'm up in the morning and like this morning, a little after 3 o'clock, I was up in the Bible, and at some times, there's 2 or 3 days, I don't get out of my condo in Hawaii. You see my view, you'd understand why. I see over the palm trees, 10th floor, the palm trees. It sure beats them two mountains that came down 100 feet from my house in Kentucky, a little three-room house, and three rooms on a path. And so it's amazing what God did. Just remember that. It is no secret now. I want you to take this with you. It's no secret what God can do. Amen. What he's done for others, he can do for you.
Yes, sir.
And that. And so to illustrate something, Mike, would you go right down here right in front of your future mother-in-law, right down? Well done. You should have seen them making eyes at one another a while ago. I saw it. He's trying to hide it. I saw it. You sit there just a minute. In the Bible, it says, Acts 4:31, it said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In Luke 24:49, the disciples had been with Jesus for 3 and 3.5 years. Now, if there's anybody ready to go out to preach the gospel, it looks like it's been them, right?
Yes, sir.
But you know what he said for them, Luke in 24:49? Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be filled with power on high. Acts 1:5, it says, and they were tarried. In Acts 1:5, they was baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And Acts 1:8-2, they was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the best illustration I've came up with, and this is kind of original, I've got about the Holy Spirit. I do speak a lot about him. Yes. It's this. Now, I'm going to show you something. And so, I got a pair of old gloves there, jersey gloves. And can you catch it, Mike? Look at there. Just a pair of old gloves. They're not much. But then look what they become. This old pair of gloves, look what they become when I fill them.
That's right.
What do the gloves do? Pick up something hot, sharp, cold, because they were filled with me. That's exactly what you and I are, is just a pair of old gloves,
right,
until God fills us with his Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, what you read, I didn't do that. I've learned the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, talked by the same one that talked to your pastor. And that's what they mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I was speaking down for Brother Porter, and asked once, and there's a difficulty going on about a house there, and four of the deacons on one side, four of us on another one. And so I had a meeting with them, wanted to discuss it some, wanted to buy the house and up for parking, and some didn't ask me what I thought. They wanted 150,000. And it's right on a hill. It would cost another 30,000 to bulldoze that and shore up the land to get parking over there. I said, how much would the house rent for? They said about $700. Now, right fast with the business mind that God's given me, if I'm going to get $700 in rent, I'm going to give you $70,000, about 10%. If I can't get 10% return on my money, I don't want it. He wanted $135,000. And so I asked, well, four of them, we're opposed. The other four, we want it. Now, so what do you think? I said, I'll let you know tomorrow. I want to pray over it tonight. So the next morning, I called the pastor, Porter, real early. I said, there's no way in the world you should touch that. That house is not worth it. From an investment standpoint, I'm an investor. If I had to buy that house and rent it and only get $700 a month, that means that it's worth $70,000. And I told him, and so it got around in church that we weren't going to buy it, and it renewed it, reunited them all together as one. They became happy. And here's what he wrote me when I got back to, he called me and said, I'll tell you what you did to our church. I said, wait a minute, it's all right there. I didn't do anything. Holy Spirit did that. Yes. Don't try to get me to take credit for something the Holy Spirit did. And after that night, I'll read here what happened. I put my hands up like that to God, and somebody took my picture, and I've got it on my wall now, and I've got it on what God did. I said on tape, hey, God did it. What an amazing service we had Sunday evening. I have not experienced such a service in 13 years, especially. You brought a great message during Sunday school, Sunday morning, but though your message on Sunday evening, we were able to see the windows of heaven open, and you brought the message, you challenged our people, and said we received a 10,000 and 10,000 from pledges that was given that Sunday evening. Also, with Sunday, we'd see three families join the church that had been visiting for ages, one never joined. The Holy Spirit brought them down the aisle. We've been able to hear several testimonies how the Lord blessed the sacrifice you're giving of your people. One of our families and wife, I'd made a pledge. Only 2 short hours of making a pledge, that exact dollar was given to us, given us from some labor I had done earlier in the week. It was more than double what he was to pay me. Another man made a pledge, but when he got home, his wife was furious at him making a commitment and stated that, can you hear me? I don't know if I'm talking loud enough. It was more than double. Another man, he made a commitment, went home, told his wife, and so she got mad. You made that commitment about me? We got some bills to pay. And he said, she said she'd never go back to church. He replied, God will provide. Next, God provided the amount he pledged to give, and the whole family was in church the next Sunday.
Amen.
And so thank you for taking time on Saturday evening to meet with us regarding the property, and your wisdom was taken, prayed over, and we have decided not to purchase it at this time. We did begin a faith promise goal. And so he wrote me a very nice letter, and I said, you put in there what God did for it. And so now, I got hungry when I began to hear Dr. Jack Hiles, how he told that the Holy Spirit came upon him. He told about praying. You know, the first year he pastored, he never won anybody to Christ. No, not a soul was saved. So he got the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is much for layman as it is for preacher.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know Dr. Jack Hiles, I have it written here somewhere in what he said, but that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, I know I have it here somewhere enough, was, came upon 11 men, the disciples, or 12. Not one of them had ever been to Bible college.
That's right.
Not one of them had ever pastored a church, and they were all laymen.
That's right.
The disciples. They didn't, hadn't ever been to college. They'd heard it preached on, and so but none of that. And so I began to seek. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got saved in 1959. I did the same thing he did. There's a big golf course right in my house, wasn't trees. I'd go over and pray at night and get up early in the morning and go and pray for God to fill me. But before he does, you have to get qualified. You see? You have to pay the price. You have to surrender it all. You're willing to give up everything. I put my children and my wife and all like, God, if you call me to Africa, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And I was studying and begging God for his power. And December the 2nd, 1966, 6:20 a.m. in the morning, I know God baptized me with the Holy Spirit of God. Then I really began to make money when I had the mind of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who been informed God, thought not robbery, but this mind. Now, you and I, let, if I knock on your door, it's up to you to let me in or keep me out. Now, you have to make a decision tonight before I quit speaking. You have to make a decision. Will you let the Holy Spirit come in your mind and control it like I did? See, I didn't make all that money in my mind. I let the Holy Spirit. I see, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus. Now, you and I are entitled to the mind of Jesus. But to get him, there's a price to pay for it. And that's a complete surrender to God. I mean, I was out knocking on doors two nights a week and starting churches. And so, let me get over here where I can get to speak to this. But at 6:20 a.m., I know I was baptized. Now, there's a man to prove it. I claimed it by faith. God, thank God. And I didn't have any climatic experience. I didn't turn over, and I didn't speak in tongues or anything like that. I had God's word. I yielded myself to him. And I wanted it more than anything else in the world. I made 100% surrender. I said, I'll go to Africa. I'll take my family. I'll do anything. There's a businessman in town. His wife had called me and told me, asked me to go see him. They had divorced. And he was on drinking, maybe drugs too, but I saw his tongue, and it was blisters, and I'd say he'd take a knife sometime and cut those blisters. I went to him twice, at least twice or more, and tried to get him to get saved. He wouldn't do it. But that morning, at 6:20 a.m., about noon that day, the Holy Spirit somehow led me to go see him again. I went in. I said, well, I'll come see you again today, see if you want to get saved. He said, I'm ready. Let's get on our knees right now and ask Jesus to forgive our sins and save us. When I left her, he got the assurance. When I left her, I didn't know it, but he called his ex-wife, Clarice, and said that Russell Anderson was here, and I just got saved. He called his mama down in Alabama and said, Mama, I know you've been praying for him a year, but there's a businessman in this town come by. He just led me for Jesus and said, to led me to Jesus. You don't have to pray for him anymore. I'm saved. I'll be in heaven with you. And then he called her, and then I got him to go to church on Sunday, make up a public profession. And he was going to get baptized a week or two later, and he died. If I hadn't got filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that man had been in hell. Been in hell. So, actually, if we don't surrender stuff, that's when God is going to use us. Now, D.L. Moody said, he said he had an experience. Now, you heard me tell about the preacher down behind the Quaysmill, the first building I helped build. I gave it $1 million, build that first building behind the church. And so a missionary asked me, said, I know you're a businessman, and I'm going to be a missionary. He said, can you help me? I'd like to ask you a question. I said, well, I'll ask you a question. Do you know about D.L. Moody? What church you go to? College you go to? And he told me I didn't recognize. I said, have you ever heard what happened to D.L. Moody on Wall Street? He's begging. He's had a fire, and he burned his church and stuff up in that Chicago, and he's begging for money in New York. No. You don't know what happened to D.L. Moody? No. Well, let me tell you. He said, I cannot describe. He talked about one day in New York. Said, oh, what a day. He's begging. I can hardly describe it. If I seldom refer to it, almost too sacred to experience a name. Paul had an experience, and he never spoke about it for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching it again. The sermon was no different. I did not present any new truth. yet hundreds were converted. So that's been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That means that you ask God to take control of your tongue.
Yes, sir.
You see? And so you take God to get you, and God, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And you and I are entitled to that. We're his children. Do you remember what I told you this morning? God, this is another day. I'm your child, and you're my father.
Amen.
I want to please my earthly father. And I said, I don't want to please you. My father worked in the coal mines. He'd walk 2 miles on railroad tracks, boy, and it's hard to walk on those tiles and the gravel, and work the coal mines eight hours to come back. But to keep us boys busy, he rented a big farm, 100-acre farm, for us to raise corn on. And my brother would slip off when the sun shone out. He's a morning goer. Knowing that daddy was going to whip him, he disobeyed his dad. And one of the requisites is this, young people, you've got to obey your parents.
Yes.
God makes it very plain. I talked about it at the graduation of the night. And so, but I stayed there, and well, we had plowed, had an old mule, and a plow, and a lot of people said we could see a mule going by, and we couldn't see anybody hold it, and I was holding up the plow to talk like this. I'm a little man anyway. And I stayed there, and it's about 100 acres, and here's what we did. We'd go around, and then we had to pull the corn off. How many ever shucked corn? You pulled it off the stalk. And so then we put one pile, and we put the wagon load, wagon here, and then the owner of the land got to choose his pile. But when we hauled all that corn up, we filled every smokehouse we had, every crevice we had, and Daddy was so proud of me, and so I walked up one day behind my dad, and he was talking to a bunch of men. He said, let me tell you what my 15-year-old teenager done. I was about 15 or 16, I forget exactly what. He said, he had a farm, he raised more corn, we've got corn everywhere. And so and he was bragging on me. And then my favorite treat back then, if I could get a quarter, I don't have a quarter now, I don't carry change. I give about a change back. I said, my dad had a quarter, and he knew I liked ice cream. My favorite was to get me a baked banana and a pint of ice cream. And so I heard him bragging on me, and he turned around and saw me. And he opened up his pocketbook. He had one of those little pocketbooks. Sure, here, son's your quarter. Go get you a pint of ice cream and a banana. I looked at that quarter. I handed it back to Dad. I said, I don't want anything right now, and I turned away crying. Just to know that I'd please my daddy was a reward enough.
Yes.
Now, just to know that we can please our Father, Heavenly Father, is what we should do.
Yes.
Oh, if we could just please him. I said it this morning. I got a sermon I was prepared on Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. And so it says, I just got to find it. I found it this morning. I looked in Genesis and looked. And so I got a reference in one of my Bible. If I can find it here. Wait a minute. 5, I think. This morning, fine. Pastor, get your Bible open to Hebrews 5 or 6. Enoch walked with God and was not. I found this where I marked it. And so Hebrews 5. But here's what it says. In Hebrews 5, he walked with God and was not, because he was translated, because he pleased God. Enoch. See, he was translated. He didn't die. And so he pleased God. And our number one effort is we should be want to please God. Please God. And Dale Moody, what happened to him? He began to preach the same sermons they'd ever preached, and scores would come down the aisle and get saved.
Yes, sir.
And so, again, that's what happened when I spoke at Brother Porter's church down in Ashland, Kentucky. By the way, we started that church under a tent, Dr. Fugate and I did, in Ashland, Kentucky. We started a lot of churches throughout the mountains of Kentucky. In about 4 years we did. And so he says, and so he was, and then one night, one day, I was at the Commonwealth Baptist College. I used to have in the girls' dormitory right back in the corner on the right side, the old building. It went up like this right in the corner. They got the dormitories. The girls was over top of me, inside of me. But I was there. That was my sleeping quarters when I would be down there 3 or 4 days a week or five. And so I was there studying one morning real early on Monday morning. I spoke in Sunday and at Commonwealth there. I know the Holy Spirit worked in the service that night. On Monday night evening, I was speaking at a big conference in Metro Baptist, my church in its value now, about 6 million. I started back in 72. I started the church, and I called a college and sent John Vipersand out. And he and I, we've been together now. And we went through 3 building programs and then moved it over to the I-94. And I was speaking that night in a big conference, and some of those big preachers there was there. I was nervous. And so I tried to get along with God, and I did. I was speaking, and so that seemed like something touched me and told me that everything's going to be all right. And I spoke that night. And so on the Holy Spirit of God, and one of the men, if I met one of the great preachers, was first, I preached on the laying on of hands. Is a scripture, laying on of hands. And so when the sermon was over in Metro Baptist Church, I had another guy was following me right behind me, and I had to quit at a certain time. I quit within 2 or 3 minutes. Pastor John Vipersand got up and said, "Well, we're supposed to have another speaker right now, but the Holy Spirit has spoke all over. He was all over Brother Russ. And we're going to give an invitation right now." He began to give an invitation, and people was coming to that platform, asked me to put my hands on their heads and pray. And that invitation lasted 45 minutes. 45 minutes. People crying in that. And then a few days later, I was invited to speak for Dr. Jeff Owens down in West Virginia at an old PATH conference, him and Alan Dominey. And so they already had it published that Brother Lynn was going to speak, and one checkbook was not enough. One checkbook's not enough. You need to have two. They'd heard me preach a sermon before, and they had already advertised I was going to speak that sermon. And I was up studying the notes, going over it again, my checkbook. And the Holy Spirit said, "I don't want you to speak up much tonight." I said, "Now, wait a minute. I couldn't get a good preach of it. They've already advertised me. And if I don't preach, they'll never have me back again." The Holy Spirit said, you just listen to me. I'll take care of them."
Yes, sir.
Now, Holy Spirit, I said, Gideon asked for a fleece. He put a fleece out there. Now, you give me some kind of a sign. I've got a right to ask you for a sign now if you want me to change that message. And so give me a sign. In less than 30 minutes, Dr. Ray Young, Hiles Anderson College, who you know, Dr. Ray Young called me and said, "Brother Anderson, I heard about that message that you preached at Metro Baptist. There was an invitation 45 minutes the other night. It's all over. Can I have your permission to duplicate that and give it all my preacher boys?" Now, that's from God. I said, "All right, Holy Spirit, I'll do it." And I got up that night. Were you there?
Yes, sir.
You were there. When I preached that sermon, the laying on of hands, Dr. Owens, when I got up, gave me a card, 35 minutes, and said, "Preach." And at 33 minutes, I preached on that sermon, laying on of hands. I was praying, shutting it down, and here they came. I never gave an invitation. It lasted for 1 hour and 5 minutes. Practically every person in that was at the altar. Women was coming crying. You'd have seen such snot running and tears. And I said, "Miss Owens, you take the women, go this way, and you take the men and go that, and you take the men here." And they just kept coming, and it lasted for 1 hour and 5 minutes. That's what it means by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
That's good.
And so then I got a call from the guy that took over in Mesquite, Texas. What's his name?
Wells.
Huh?
Mike Wells.
Mike Wells. I got a call from him. He wanted me to preach for him down in Texas. And I'd spoke to him before, the pastor, several times, to Dr. Bob Gray. He said, I heard about that sermon you preached up at Dr. Orange. I want you to preach that down in my house. And he said, about that laying on of hands. And so I know what happened. I want that to have mine. I said, Holy Spirit, you hear what he said? I didn't do that. You did that. And I said, the pressure's on me. I didn't do that, Holy Spirit. I said, you did it. Now, I'm in a jam. You got to help me. Oh. And so it's what you did. I was nervous, and Sunday night I got up on Monday. He was expecting what the results that happened in Dr. Orne's church. Now, a revival like that, the Holy Spirit to fall, you just don't work that up. You got to pray that down. And I went around for weeks and called, now, God, you've got to do it. Yeah, I didn't do it. Now, you did that, and I'm in a jam. You got to help me. And so when I preached for him at that on Sunday evening, I got a letter from him. He said, everyone in my church is altar, about 300 people. See, the Holy Spirit did it again. It comes, but it's a thirsting for the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to turn now over to Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to go over there. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to cut it a little short here. Ephesians 5, 18. And it says here, the Lamb of the Church, by the way, it's no secret what God knew. Be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know it's wrong, and I've quoted Brother Howells, I've heard him preach on this, and other preachers. It's wrong to get drunk on wine.
That's right.
Yeah, right? It's just as wrong not to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if God did it for the 11 and the disciples, he can still do it. Anything God has ever done, he can do it again, providing we pay the price for it now. There's a price to pay for begging and getting ready and obeying the Holy Spirit. And I came across this now. I knew I had it somewhere. Dr. Howell said, the fullness of the Holy Spirit came only upon laymen and says nothing about the preachers. The Holy Spirit came in power on the church in Jerusalem on 11 men. Not one of them had a seminary degree. Not one of them had come to the Bible college. Not one of them had ever pastored a church or preached at a revival campaign. That's just the apostle now. The power of God is given to all Christians. Now listen, all Christians. Does that include you and I?
Yes.
We're laymen. And no more for the preacher than pray for the layman. And here's how you get it for 15 minutes a day, pray for power. Have reminders to pray for power. And you'll sit in my condo in Hawaii and I have a room dedicated. This is God's room where I get I get wisdom of God to make millions in this room. And I stop and search myself before I go in that room. It's like going in the Holy of Holies. Ask God to forgive me. And I meet with God. And he said, here's what Dr. Howell said. Have reminders to pray for power. I've got signs in my condo and in Hawaii. Pray for power 1 hour a week after midnight. Listen, in Luke 11. If ye then men evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give them to the Holy Spirit to ask him? Now, I'm very much aware when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes within. You don't never have to pray for the Holy Spirit to enter your body. When you accept Jesus, you get two for one.
Yes.
You get Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that. But the Bible says, be ye filled. And the scripture I read you a while ago in Acts 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You go to Acts 2, 4, they were filled. And you go to Acts 4, 8, Peter is filled again with the Holy Spirit of God. It's something that comes upon you. And he said, the Holy Spirit dwells in all believers, yet to another which may be called the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. D.L. Moody said that. But Dr. Howell said he used eight words to pray for bread. You know, and he was praying in Luke. 27 words to pray for forgiveness. and used 235 words to pray for bread for others. See, when you're praying for the God's power to be with us, it takes more. And D.L. Moody again, he said, the Holy Spirit, here's what D.L. Moody said. And he had a fourth grade education. And I went to Dr. John R. Ross once. I said, well, I don't have much education. I want to thank God he can use me. He said, how far did you go? I said, well, I was in high school. Well, D.L. Moody only had a fourth grade education. He won $1 million. You ought to be able to do 3 or 4 million. Dr. Ross, how about 25 million?
He's listening right
now. At 25 million. Why? Because I met God in the morning when my day was at best. And said, the Holy Spirit, all believers, there's another gift, which may, D.L. Moody, Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in. There is another gift, which may be called the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. Now, think about that, what he said. There is another gift, which may be called the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. That is, when you're out witnessing and what you people have been doing, your pastor brags on you all the time. The gift is entirely separate from conversion. That is why God's children have no power, the reason they have not the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. That's what D.L. Moody got on Wall Street bragging. But it's something you got to hunger and thirst after. You don't know how many nights I prayed and prayed, but I had to get qualified for it. You don't give a young Christian or you don't give a baby a straight edge razor to play with. The same thing, God is very careful who he fills the power of God. You've got to have seasons of power. And so, but the Holy Spirit dwells. That's why God showed. Now, be not drunk with wine in excess. I heard this story about D.L. Moody. The man was kept bragging on him. You talk like D.L. Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. No, you had it back there. The Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody.
That's right.
Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on you? Do you hunger and crave? Do you like to see, as I told you this morning from the chapel last year, 9 out of 10 people you witness to come to Christ?
That's right.
And I have it called making a reservation. That's what you do. I've got a reservation made in the morning, get on the airline, so I'm going to go back to Detroit, and they won't let you on that airline. You know why? You don't have a reservation. You know, I made a reservation for heaven. I got on my face in 1959. The Bible says, whosoever calls my name, Lord, shall be saved. And if you kill me right now, I've got a reservation. I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
You talk about your people about reservation. That's something that trains. You start talking to them about church and all they fuss and cry. I heard a man said to give away approximately $50 million. That he's going to go to heaven because he made a reservation. He said he don't have any education hardly, but I'm too smart to go to the airport and try to get on an airplane without a reservation. I'm too smart to go to a doctor's office and try to see him without a reservation. I'm too smart to go to see some attorney without a reservation. And I was in January, the 4th January in Orlando, Florida, preaching. The pastor took me down and the two hairs, they grow down too long, and I was going to get a haircut. I was sitting there, and we got talking about the Lord's work, and they was telling about the experiences a lot of people had. I got out of that chair, and I prayed that guy, let me tell you something right now. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to catch an airplane. I'm going to go back to Hawaii. And I said, I'm too smart of a man to go to the airport and think I'm going to get on without a reservation. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't made that reservation in heaven, you're going to split hell wide open. And I preached that for the whole barbershop there. But it says here, layman said, he said, be not drunk with wine for in excess, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I heard about a deacon board voted a man out of the church. He got drunk on wine. And someone asked him, have you ever voted anybody out of the church because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Huh? What's the difference?
Good.
And so it is that, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the other gospel. I hope I've created, the pastor said it, and I've always told it. I just wanted to tell you what the Holy Spirit has done in my life, and I'd be a fool to try to take credit for what he done. Remember this, please. Let this mind be in you. I didn't make that money. I got rose early in the morning. The Bible is God's word. And I got God's mind, Christ's mind in mind. I went out and built the largest drywall business, the largest property. I said, 70,000 people. I became the largest taxpayer, more property tax than them. I did it with Christ's mind, not with mine. And so I hope I created that. Now I ask you a question. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Have you ever been baptized with what he said, told the disciples, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Our Father, we pray your blessings now. I've done my best to tell the people what you did through me and how I labored and begged you to fill me your power. With their heads bowed now, no one looking around, how many say, Brother Anderson, I sure want to be baptized. I sure like to have the power of God. If I see 8, 9 out of 10 people I witness to come to know Christ, I'd love to have that power you speak out, and I want to seek God. I want to set out to have that mind be of Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So would you raise your hand? I want that. I want that. All right. That's right. Now I want to ask us all sin. Brother, will you pray it just as I am? Would you have me press on? Now it's all sin. That's one thing to make a decision back there, but it's another to make a decision out there. Oh, Pastor, I'd like you to go right there and stand. I'd like for you to come take the pastor's hand and tell him what you're going to do. Just a short thing. Now, God's here tonight. Let this mind you. Will you begin to pray, brother?